Multiple case study is a very common approach to qualitative research. In this video, I will talk about Kathleen Eisenhardt's approach to multiple case studies. In contrast to quantitative research, where there are often right and wrong choices when it comes to methods, qualitative research is more diverse. And it's more difficult to make those choices, and you really need to understand what you're doing, and it requires lots of expertise to justify your research approach. However, to get started, people need easy-to-follow rules and guidelines. To this end, many researchers have started to imitate others, and this has led to emergence of two templates in management research. We have the Eisenhardt method and the Gioia method, and these have been basically emerged when researchers have started to look at who has been able to publish qualitative research in leading journals and then started to imitate these authors. Eisenhardt's method is sometimes called post-positivist. I prefer to call it realist. The idea here is that the method is more about facts and events that people describe instead of being about how people interpret those descriptions. So whereas the Gioia method is about understanding how people interpret the events around them, in the Eisenhardt's method, we are interested in the events themselves, and the way people interpret those events can produce bias to our analysis results. So we try to be more objective, whereas in Gioia method, we try to understand the people's subjective views on the events around them. There are also other differences. In Eisenhardt's method, the analysis proceeds a bit differently. The approach requires multiple cases, typically 4 to 10 different cases. So for example, if you study power and politics, which is done in an example paper that I use, then you need to pick a couple of organizations where power is, where politics is applied, and a couple of organizations where politics is applied less. And then you analyze those cases and you compare. The analysis here in Eisenhardt's method is focused on first on within case analysis. So you try to understand each case, write a description about the case, and then you compare across the cases to come up with generalizable theory and propositions. So this is much more about objective description and explanation of reality instead of being about people's interpretation of that reality. These also differ in how you report the results and how you write the paper. In Eisenhardt's method, there is this quantitative focus. So Kathleen Eisenhardt's papers quite often classify cases according to dimensions as being high and low. For example, you can classify the cases into high-performing companies and low-performing companies, or companies that are in the middle, and then you seek associations between different variables. So this is a much more quantitative approach to qualitative research than the Gioia method, which is more about writing stories on what happened. And importantly, the Eisenhardt methods, while you develop propositions that are statements about causality between two concepts, you need to explain the causal process. So she emphasizes that a multiple case study, must provide explanations, not only associations and claims, but also explanations of how, why, and when those causal processes work. Let's take a look at an example. So my example is Eisenhardt and Burgess, 1988, Power and Politics in High Velocity Environments. And how does Kathleen Eisenhardt describe their data analysis process? Importantly, the data analysis process needs to be described transparently because there is no clear guideline or no clear standards on how you apply different techniques. Whereas in quantitative research, you could easily say that you apply regression analysis and that's it. In qualitative research, there's much more freedom on how you analyze your data, and therefore you need to explain how exactly you did it. So the data analysis starts by quantifying the data and seeking patterns. So quite often in multiple case study, following the Eisenhardt approach, you have some concepts in your mind before you collect the data. And then you simply code for evidence of those concepts and different levels of those concepts. For example, power and politics in this paper. Then you seek associations between power and politics. Are they correlated? If so, then you seek evidence for causality. Developing profiles is something that Eisenrath also recommends. So you write a case description for each case or each executive, or and you can do the same for each decision. So you can write profiles, short descriptions of the key things or key units that you study. Then you develop timelines. You can have a piece of paper that has a timeline, then you put the key events on that timeline, and you basically construct causal processes or descriptions of some kind of processes using those timelines. Then once you have developed the case descriptions, developed the timelines, then you start to compare pairwise. For example, you could take pairs. You take a high performing company, a low performing company, you compare and you try to find differences. Or if you have two high performing companies, you try to find similarities. And this way you try to find patterns that explain how the cases differ or how they are similar with one another. Then you iterate this many, many times, and from this a theory emerges. So you first seek patterns. Then based on those patterns, you start to seek evidence for causality, and you iterate many, many times, because sometimes when you find a pattern in, for example, two cases, that pattern may not exist in other cases, and therefore it might not be the ideal pattern to follow when you construct your theory. Finally, you compare with prior research to seek for things that are similar and look for things that are conflicting with your theory. This explanation of data analysis also contains two other important and interesting things. First, there are conflicts. So people will not always tell you the same thing. Even if people observe the same events, they interpret the events differently. And people are not objective in how they explain reality. Instead, they explain their own interpretations of the reality. And in Eisenhardt's approach, you try to eliminate the influence of a person's interpretation of reality from the analysis. So if you have conflicting evidence, then you start looking at what is the reason why there's a conflict. Why is one person telling us one thing, another person telling us another thing? And then based on those conflicting accounts, you try to infer what is the reality actually like. Then another thing that is useful to understand is that the patterns are not laws. So the fact that you most of the cases that applied here, that applied politics, had centralized power. A power centralization does not always lead to the use of politics. So you need to understand that it's not a perfect correlation, like it's never in a quantitative analysis. Instead, we look for some kind of association that may not be always strong, they can be weak as well. This is how Eisenhardt herself describes the process in the seminal 1989 paper. So Eisenhardt's approach starts with a research question like we always do. In contrast to some grounded theory studies where we start from a clean slate, we don't have any ideas of what the result might be, in Eisenhardt's approach, there is quite often some concepts that have been chosen before the study. That we want to study power, we want to study politics, so we need to code for evidence of power and evidence of politics in the data. Then selecting cases follows theoretical sampling. So if we want to study the effects of power and politics, we should get cases where there is variation in power and variation in politics. So if at all possible, we should see companies that we know have centralized power and companies that we know where power is not centralized. And we can also do this while we sample. So let's say that we don't know for sure if cases have centralized power or not. And let's say, assume that we have done four cases, three have centralized power, in one the power is not centralized. Then the remaining eight cases, we should focus on finding companies where power is not centralized to the CEO. With other constructs, such as performance, it's much easier because you can get objective measures of those concepts without actually going and doing the interviews. Then, quite often in this approach, there are multiple ways of collecting data. So you collect data through interviews, but you can also use survey forms. So for example, if you want to study if power is centralized within the CEO, you can simply use a power centrality scale in the form of a paper-based survey, which you give to the informant to fill before the interview. So this is a combination of different kinds of data. You can use data, also from databases like financial data, and you do the interviews. Then, importantly, data collection and analysis need to overlap always in qualitative analysis, because you never know what all the concepts are while you start. So you might have an idea of the two central concepts, but if you want to study the process through which power influences politics, you may not know what the process actually is. And once you start to have an understanding what is the process like, then you can focus your later data collection efforts on the important parts of the process that you discovered early on in your research. Then you do analysis. Analysis always starts with within case analysis, so you analyze each case separately, and then you do cross case analysis, so you do pairwise comparisons, and for example, comparisons using more than two companies. Then follows the writing of the tables to show associations, and then you write a narrative or description of why there are these relationships in the text, and you enter quotes into the text that explain the process or explain the data, show the data that allowed you to infer that there actually is a process. And then finally, you compare against prior literature, because this is typically done to come up with a theory between known concepts. So it's not very common to apply this kind of multiple case study and develop new concepts using multiple case study. So grounded theory is perhaps better for developing new concepts. This is more about finding associations and finding causal relationships between concepts that you choose before you collect the data. And finally, how do you know when do you quit adding more cases or stop adding more cases? Eisenhardt uses the concept of theoretical saturation. So when you have a case that no longer gives you more information to guide your theorizing, then you can conclude that you have reached saturation. So collecting more cases would not add much value anymore. So you add cases as long as your theory develops, but once you have the feeling that the latest case did not really add much, then you decide that this is the number of cases that I'm going to use. Quite often, the number of cases is between 8 and 10 when this approach is followed.